Good morning and welcome back to another edition of High Desert Dialogue, conversations with Regina and Roxanne, right here on Talk 960, brought to you by Providence St. Mary Medical Center, in partnership with San Bernardino County Department of Public Health. Encourage you to visit myturn.ca.gov to learn more about COVID vaccines. Keep our community healthy. We are keeping it local. We are featuring High Desert community issues, events, organizations, and individuals you don't want to miss. You can hear us right here, Saturdays at 9 a.m. and Sundays at 8 a.m. on Talk 960, plus listen online at talk960.com. Let's get to it.
Well, good morning. It's another Saturday here in March, Women's History Month.
And Sunday.
Yes, Saturday and Sunday. You're right,
there
Roxanne.
There you go.
Okay. And we are going to be talking with this brilliant young woman who Victor Valley College had the, smart to hire her and bring her on with all of her experience. She's been in this community for many, many years. When I first met her, she was teaching government at the Academy for Academic Excellence. That's how far back we go. That just means that's how old I am. It is no reflection on her. But anyway, I'm really excited about this morning's guest, and I'm going to ask Mackenzie Tarango to tell us a little bit about herself and her role as the Associate Vice President of Instruction at Victor Valley College. And welcome.
Yes. Welcome,
thank
Mackenzie.
Thank you, and thank you for the warm introduction. As you mentioned, I have been here for a while, so I'm a lifelong resident of the Victor Valley, graduate from Hesperia High School, alum of VVC, got my bachelor's at Cal State San Bernardino, and then went on from there for a couple more degrees. But yes, very grounded in this community, and raising my children here.
Yes.
They're going up through the Hesperia Unified School District system. And had many of family members and friends go through VVC, and many of us who were not college-bound or career-focused.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for me, it is really a pleasure to be able to be working hand-in-hand with at VVC in the CTE program and really bringing awareness to the different career opportunities.
For our listeners, what is the CTE program?
Sure. It stands for Career Technical Education. So let me just dig into that a little bit. So CTE, Career Technical Education programs, sometimes give you the immediate training to enter directly into the workforce.
Mm-hmm.
So you go in, you get a certificate, our industry recognized certificate that qualifies you to go straight into the workforce. Sometimes the career technical education programs prepare you for the transfer to a four-year university, where upon completion of that program, then you can enter into the workforce. But it's really career-focused.
Right. And so currently, how many different programs fall under the heading of CTE?
So at Victor Valley College, we have 201 degrees and certificates. And those come from across about 80 different disciplines, of which I would say approximately 30 of those disciplines are career technical education disciplines. So if I could give you a couple just random examples of those 30, you have, your traditional fire technology, criminal justice, emergency medical responders, nursing. You have aviation, which is like your AMP license to work on the big, Boeing 747s.
Right.
We have cosmetology to commercial driver's license to get your license to drive the big rig trucks. We have forklift certifications. We have computer information services to respiratory therapy, to construction, to automotive, to welding. And so just a variety of industrial technology career focuses, and then your medical focuses and your public safety focuses, and then your STEM focuses.
That's great.
Yeah, that's a lot. So so if somebody listening this morning says, wow, that's a lot, how would I find out what programs actually fall under that, and then, you know, all the criteria in that. Where can they go to find that information?
And then, Mackenzie, too, is this something different from when a regular student applies to Victor Valley College? This is something separate from an associate degree, right? They want to join the CTE program?
Well, that's a great question. So many of these programs that I listed have their own associate degrees and associate degrees for transfer. So if the student wants an old-fashioned associate's degree, that's the end of your education, you can get one of those, or you can get an associate's degree for transfer, where you can then move on to a Cal State or UC. Now, some of our disciplines, so like your fire, criminal justice, just about everything I named has one, but we have a few programs that don't have an associate's degree, like your cosmetology program and your forklift program or your commercial driver's license, where the intent is not to proceed on with the education. Now, that's not to say that one day we don't develop those programs into a degree, but at this time they're not.
Mm-hmm. And that would be more of the type of program where somebody wanted to become trained and skilled and immediately go into a job.
Correct, but some of the other ones I mentioned that have associate's degrees, you can still get trained. So your fire technology, you go into a 12-week academy, and you come out with your fire one certificate where you're able to go apply at a local fire station and become a firefighter immediately.
In just 12 weeks, huh?
Yes, 12 weeks.
Yeah.
Your aviation program has an associate's degree, but you don't have to go through the associate's degree program. It's about a year and a half a program, and you can walk out of there. If you weren't focused on getting an associate's degree, you can finish the program, qualify to get your AMP certificate, and then go work at Boeing or General Atomics or GE out at SCLA. Some people want the associate's degree. Some people just want the training, and our programs offer both options.
So there's that flexibility. So mm-hmm. again, you were going to tell us where our listeners can go mm-hmm. to learn more, get more of the information of what you've been sharing.
So our website, bbc.edu, is a great resource. But I'd also encourage them to go and make an appointment to see a counselor. The counselor will be able to tell them about all the different options and answer their questions about how long does this take, are there prerequisites. And then we also have program maps for every one of our programs that tell you about what local careers and who are some of the local employers hiring out there, and what is the average age of the workforce, so you know if there's going to be more jobs coming up soon. So we have those program maps posted on our website. And then under our career education program page, we actually have a video for 28 out of our 30 programs. And they're on average from 2 to 4 minute video, but they just highlight all of the work that's taking place in those specific programs. You get to see students in action. You kind of get a peek into the classroom, because one of the things about career technical education is it's hands-on focus. So yeah, there's some theory talked about, but you are literally in there working on electric vehicles. You're literally putting out fires in buildings and the fire technology, and you are boarding Boeing 747s in the aviation program. And so it is truly a hands-on experience.
And that's how you gain the experience, mm-hmm. obviously, with the hands-on training.
Yeah. So I want to move to talking a little bit more about you. So in your role as Associate Vice President of Instruction, tell me a little bit what your day looks like. Because that's a pretty big title. So what comes with that? What are you responsible for?
Well, it feels like a very busy day, and every day, and no 2 days are alike. But really, my focus is on the schedule, creating the schedule and staffing the classes for the student body, and really assessing the data to determine when do our students want these classes, mm-hmm. And what classes do they want, what modality are they seeking, do they want it online, do they want it hybrid. And so I work with the faculty, our full-time faculty. We have about 115 full-time faculty. I work with about our 500 part-time faculty members. Mm. So it's about 650 faculty members on average that make up any given semester. And then we split that between 4 different schools. So we have the School of Humanities, Arts, and Social Science, the School of Business, Business Law and Academic Resources, the School of science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. Mm-hmm. And then we have the School of Humanities, Arts, and Social Science. So, or no, Public Safety, Industrial Technology. Sorry, I repeated that one. So four schools, they all have deans. Mm-hmm. And then the staff is separated among those four schools. And so I work with those deans, those schools, in creating this and launching the schedule. And basically everything that is under the umbrella of instruction. So, you know, many of our career technical education programs have third, like, outside agency accreditation.
Okay.
And so we work to ensure that our programs are accredited by outside agencies, so that the training you receive is certified, that you can go across the nation and they recognize the training and the work that you did.
Right. So, sounds like to me it's a huge job with huge responsibilities, but you're smiling, so that indicates that you are enjoying the work. Let me ask you this. Who inspires or what inspires you?
Opportunity. Being someone who grew up here and not really having a lot of direction. I didn't really know where to go or what to do. So I think what inspires me is the opportunity to provide access to opportunity for others and to create, paint a picture so that they can know that these things exist. I often tell the our staff that's focused on outreach that most of our students know about the jobs that exist because they drive up and down Main Street. So they're like, okay, you know, we got a Bonds, we got a Walmart, got a Stater Brothers,
mm-hmm.
You know, a Napa Auto Parts store. But they don't know that Southern California Logistics Airport exists. They don't know that the fire stations are actually can't get enough employees, because what has been told to them for generations is like, you can only get in if your granddaddy was in there.
Right.
But that's really changed, and people don't know what steps do I take. Oh, it's only 12 weeks. Well, plus a couple prerequisites to become a firefighter, mm-hmm. right? And so I think what brings me joy, what brings me motivation is being able to share these stories and these opportunities and working with these faculty members who are so committed to like getting as many people as they can through their door and trained and out into a profession that they could provide for their family.
And that's wonderful, because I think opportunity is such a great motivator of inspiration, right? Let me ask you this as we close this out, and this information you've shared is just amazing. But let me ask you if there was a message, particularly to women who are trying to get on the path, right? Whether it's going back to school, whether it's furthering their existing education, you know, but just finding their niche, their opportunities. What would that piece of advice, what would you say to them?
I would say that the opportunity is yours. For so many generations, we've been told like, oh, if you're looking for a CTE program, go to the cosmetology program. And I'm here to say that not only are the doors open for you in welding and construction and automotive and all of these industry sectors that have been previously just you've been discouraged from, but that they are looking for you. They are looking to bring you in. And I want to just let the listeners know that in June, we're holding a Welding for Women's event, and where it's like a safe place for women to come and find out, like, is welding for me? Because a lot of times women are intimidated, or they just feel like, well, that space is not for me. These spaces are for you.
Yes.
And the people on the other side are like, their arms are out wide trying to welcome you in there. And so if you have a passion or even just a desire to learn, don't hesitate. Sign up for those classes, because they want you, and the industry is looking to balance their numbers. So you have the benefit of the fact that the industry is looking to bring more women in. So check it out. It's for you.
And do you have the information on when that event is taking place? Or can we go to
vbc.edu
and find that information?
Yes. So the Women in Welding event is going to be held on June 10th, 11th, and 12th. And it's a free event. You do have to sign up. And the application is available at vbc.edu. Or we also have a one email, so it's info@vvc.edu if you want to email them to ask them for information. But that event is free, and we encourage you to try it out.
That's wonderful. That sounds like it's going to be a great three-day event, and we just want to encourage our women, our young girls who are interested to go, because as you said, this is a safe space for them to get that information. Now, in closing, I got a question that I want to ask you. Tell me one thing that we should know about you or that we'd be surprised to know about you.
I'm just fresh out of ideas, but I guess I would share that I've been happily married for 15 years to the love of my life. We have two beautiful children, Martine and Elizabeth, 14 and 15 years old. And I'm not sure that that's surprising, but I am just blessed to be in a home of love and a land of opportunity.
Well, that's wonderful. And I think if there's anything that we should know about you is that you are rooted and centered in the love of family, right? That really serves as a motivator to keep us all going, right? Especially you with this big job that you have. So, Mackenzie, I want to thank you for coming. I know we'll have you back as things are growing and expanding there at VVC. Thank you for the just wonderful job you're doing there and the compassion that you bring to our community to provide opportunity. So thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mackenzie.
Well, good morning. And I have two extraordinary women here with me this morning. I'm just really excited, and I have to be in full transparency. Not only do I know them professionally, but I know them both very personally, and I call them my sisters. I want to thank Cindy Bostic and Melanie Ajawanchuku for joining us this morning and being here to talk to us a little bit about the Today's Woman Foundation. But since this is Women's History Month, I also would love if each one of you would tell us a little bit about your careers, the impact that you've made here in the High Desert, and then coming now to serve as Melanie is this year's president, and Cindy is the executive director for Today's Woman. So ladies, welcome. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being here with me. And Cindy, we'll start with you.
Okay, thank you so much, Regina, for having us here today. It's a pleasure.
And yes, pleasure is all mine, believe me.
You are our sister, and you love me.
Thank you.
As far as my career, I have reinvented myself a few times.
Okay.
My first career was in the defense industry. I grew up in the controllers organization, and I spent over 20 years in that field as a senior finance manager. And when my daughter graduated from college, I made the decision to make a change.
Mm-hmm.
And that is when I decided to get into real estate. Mm-hmm. So I was a real estate salesperson and leader in a very large office for about 10 years.
Okay. And that was here in the High Desert,
That
right?
was here in the High Desert. Okay. I began my real estate career in 2001
wow.
at Shear Realty.
Okay.
Oh.
Yes.
Yes.
We know that with Carol Yule and all that
yes.
bunch.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
And I did that for, like I said, 10 years. And what I enjoyed most about that career was training and helping other agents build their business and become great at what they did. And then, my mom had Alzheimer's. My husband's health at the time was poor, and I had to make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
So I left that world and began coaching. A lot of it was done from home. And so that was another reinvention.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then in 2015, Today's Woman Foundation found me. I found them. And the rest is history.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, Cindy, thank you. And Miss Melanie Ajawanchuku, you have been here since...
Well, I have a comeback story. So I came here. I came here as a child. My father was in the Air Force. And so he brought us here, actually. I tell this story. We were in Japan. We came back, landed in San Diego. My father brought us up to the high desert in the night. My sisters and I got up the next morning and went outside and looked around, and we said, well, we have died and we have not gone to heaven.
Oh.
But this community has evolved a great deal since that time. Mm-hmm. I left the community, subsequently went off to do my education. And my career path has been in healthcare. Mm-hmm. And nutrition was a forefront in my mind and a focal point that I felt could be the gateway to a better life for everyone. And so that's what I'd indeed pursued. I left the area, went on to do my professional education. And then when we had a young son, we wanted a community that was a little smaller. We were in Washington, D.C., so we came back to the high desert. My father was still here at that time. And we landed, and we've been here 35 years plus.
It's okay.
Speaking to the seasoned population. I continued my career in healthcare, acute nutrition and hospital work, and subsequently in private practice. I felt like I could do more to help people in a one-on-one scenario. And then my husband and I, we retired our practices in 2022, and now I'm doing consulting work with renal patients. So still in nutrition, still very much a believer in that nutrition is the way to health, is the gateway to health.
Yes.
And happy to do that.
Yes. And then you joined the Today's Woman Foundation.
I did indeed. You know, Regina, I know back in the day when you started with the organization and we had those wonderful health fairs, and the progression of the organization with Anna Tsuji, and then on into the incorporation, of course, and then on into its development, and Cindy's coming on board. I'm very appreciative. I came up in a family that was oriented towards community. My father was very big in this community, and service of community has always been something that we were called to. And I'm most appreciative to be able to work with Cindy. She's an amazing woman. And her heart is in this community. She gives so much.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's wonderful to have this opportunity. Thank you.
Yes. And so can you guys talk to me a little bit about the mission and the purpose of the Today's Woman Foundation? Because that, too, has been reinvented to a certain extent, right?
To a certain extent. But I think we are still holding to the original tenets of the mission of Today's Woman Foundation, and it is basically to provide education, resources, and tools to women in our community around body, mind, and spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So everything we do supports that mission, and I love our mission because it's wide open. We can create whatever we want, and we continue to do that. You know, we've got to keep...
And we want to address the diversity of our community because we identify, and we certainly do that with regard to our board. We have representation across the spectrum of personalities and talents and skills, and we really appreciate that because we do serve a diverse community, so we want to have representatives that can identify what the needs are and speak to those needs. And that's certainly a big part of our work and our advocacy.
Right. And I think I just saw on Facebook that there's a gentleman, and forgive me for not remembering his name, that is now a board member.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And I know if anyone has gone to the previous galas that you've had, you guys definitely put the fellas to work, right? So they're engaged as well.
Yeah,
is
they
my
are.
Point. Yeah. So talk to me a little bit about some of the programs, the projects, the events, the initiatives that you guys have on board for 2024.
Yeah, I'll take it. You know, we have 7 committees right now in the foundation with amazing chairs of each committee. We are rolling out 2 new initiatives this year. One is for seniors. You know, about 75% of our followers, our friends, are over the age of 50. So we need to do more to meet the needs of that community.
Yes.
And so we've got a committee dedicated to that. We will be launching a new membership program within the next couple of months that we're very excited about. Mm-hmm. And Melanie will
say more about that. We're very excited about mm-hmm. the program because we see it as an opportunity to broaden the awareness of the work that we do mm-hmm. and in participation. So mm-hmm. we invite businesses, we invite individuals to come in. We have a legacy membership that's opening up. So the first 100 individuals that sign up will become legacy members. And then our subsequent membership will certainly be equally as important. And we're very excited. It will give an opportunity for them, for members to participate in some of our programs, to have some discounts for the gala and other things that we put forward. But just to feel a part of mm-hmm. today's woman.
Right.
And we want that for them, and we intend to make it a most dynamic, engaging program.
Mm-hmm. And for also community to feel how they can come around and support work of Today's Woman Foundation. So if anyone is interested in that particular membership program, how would they get in touch with, find out more information about, et cetera?
They can reach out to me, Cindy mm-hmm. Bostick, at todayswomanfoundation@gmail.com. And I'll be happy to share. And we haven't formally launched the program. We're in the process of creating a video okay. to describe the benefits and so forth and how to enroll. So we will be blasting that on Facebook. We're also on Facebook, Today's Woman Foundation. Okay. And then our website is todayswomanfoundation.org.
Got it. I want to thank you ladies so much for joining us. Thank you for the amazing work that you're doing through the Today's Woman Foundation. We'll look forward to having you back, like I said, as we get closer. And as you start to send us that information, we're going to be sharing with community
mm-hmm.
That the nominations will be open, and then also how they can register for the November 9th, I believe it is.
That's right.
November 9th. Event that's coming up that's centered and focused around grief. I want to thank you again for spending this time with us, and please don't be strangers. Come back and see us.
Thank you so much, Regina and Roxanne. We really appreciate the work you're doing in the community. Communicating like this, what is transpiring, is so important. I had mentioned earlier about how much this community has changed, and it's through the people that are engaged here and that give back. And as you spread the word of what's transpiring in here, we get better. And we appreciate you both so much. Thank you for inviting us.
Thank you for that.
Thank you. Thanks for listening and being a part of our High Desert Conversation. We invite you to share ideas, events, interesting people that you as a community want to hear from. Reach out to us and send us an email at RoxanneScafidi@edbroadcasters.com. And let us know who you want to hear from and who we should be talking to. High Desert Dialogue, Conversations with Regina and Roxanne, has been brought to you by Providence St. Mary Medical Center in partnership with San Bernardino County Department of Public Health. Encourage you to visit myturn.ca.gov to learn more about COVID vaccines. Keep our community healthy. We'll talk to you next weekend.